Technological advancement, I've already explained. Microprocessors and telecommunication has improved the speed and the efficiency of business. Needless to elaborate. Internet and World Wide Web, WWW, improved and enhanced coordination, monitoring and control of global businesses. It's going on further at a very rapid pace. Online globalization has happened. Manufacturers and marketers use internet to conduct all business process worldwide. All of us are today buying from organizations like Flipkart and Snapdeal and Amazon and whatnot. So this is online globalization. Transportation technology, developments in the technology of in designing efficiency-based aircrafts, containers, shipments, etc. has reduced the delivery time. This is popularly coming under the topic of logistics. So logistics today is very different from logistics what it was 20, 30 years back. So today, like I talked about Flipkart, when you pick up something from Flipkart online, it comes within say 1 or 2 or 3 days as promised by the company. And when it comes, you wonder where it came from some place like Haryana, when you are somewhere in Kolkata. And if it was to come in 48 hours, I'm sure all of you will agree that the people who are working in this type of a environment need to have a different type of a behavior. That's where the OB comes in. Ask anybody who's working in logistics company. I know quite a lot of them. Some of them are my students. Their imperatives, their dictates, their pressures are very, very different from the pressures of a person who's doing pure marketing or for that matter production. So that's where the behavior part of it comes. The dictate of your business, the dictate of the environment, the dictate of the customer and the stakeholders, it sort of impacts the way you have to behave. That's why we have separate trainings for these people. I conduct quite a lot of training for these type of people who need to adapt to these changing technological based environment. Right? So now, growth of MNCs. MNCs produce, market, invest and operate across the world without global boundaries. MNCs have been spreading their operations due to higher efficiencies in marketing, finance and other areas of business. We are aware of it. Now we talk about the concept which everybody knows, buzzword called TQM, Total Quality Management. In simple terms, TQM means that everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do has to be quality driven. Everything that I think, everything that I say and everything that I do needs to be quality driven. So quality should be a part of our consciousness. Quality should be our mantra for everything that we do. A simple thing like holding a pointer and pointing to the screen, there has to be some sort of a quality way of doing it. For which we need to define what is quality. Quality has got several definitions, friends. I am not again entering into the technical part of it because it's a separate subject which you'll be learning in operations. TQM. Now quality, to my mind, to my reading and my understanding, is whenever the customer gets a delight, whenever the customer feels a delight, he feels something has come to him better than what he expected, that's quality for him. And that manifests in the form of his emotions and feel. That manifests in the form of his emotions and feel. I don't have to buy a branded shirt to feel quality, in short. Quality is what I feel. I feel, well, this is really good, this classy. Now that feeling is coming to the consumer. Now that feeling needs to be generated by the manufacturer, by the service provider. So to make that thing happen, every individual in the company who's called as an internal customer has to drive quality behavior, and that quality behavior is what is expected today from most of us, whether we are in institutions or in organizations which are commercial or in society, because everybody is quality driven. TQM comprises deriving quality in every aspect of working. It creates an edge over competition. If I am quality driven in everything I do, definitely I have an edge over the person, my competitor, who doesn't put quality in everything. TQM is not a quality department in a company. TQM is all encompassing. Right from the CEO down to the peer in the company, everybody is quality driven. And there are a number of processes into which they are trained. And behind these processes is also, most importantly, behavioral processes. Quality comes out of a behavior, friends. If I have a behavior which is in line with quality and I recognize quality as a behavior, then quality will be known by me. Then I'll be able to drive quality. TQM aims at continuous increase in customer satisfaction at a considerably lower cost. It tries to do what is called as Kaizen, Japanese form of continuous improvement. And with improvement, I'm bettering my quality from day by day, day by day, day by day. It's like a batsman in cricket who keeps on improving his batting. He is the best, but yet he keeps on improving, like Tendulkar. Right? Now that's TQM. TQM is a continuous process. Since it is continuous, my behavior also has to go in line with the continuous changes. TQM is a continuous process of improvement of individuals, groups, and total organization. Whom does it impact? The individuals. In the organization, we have a critical mass of people who will anyway take care of TQM. But if you are not in line with the TQM thinking and behavior, you are out. So from that standpoint, TQM is impacting organization behavior. What are the principles of TQM? The TQM is based on the fact that I want to give customer delight. It starts on the external customer who's outside the company, but there's a very important concept called the internal customer, which is nothing but I and my colleagues within the company. Do I treat my colleagues? Do I behave with them like a customer? I am a service provider to the next in line to whom my output goes. He is my internal customer. Do we have the same customer type of outlook within the company? I have seen in my experience as a trainer, if the internal customers are satisfied, the external customers will definitely get satisfied. Conversely, if the external customers are unhappy with your company, there is some problem within the company in terms of behavior. Internal behaviors are not properly aligned, and that's where the company needs to work. So it's important that one focuses on the internal customers so that the delight of the customer takes place. Continuous changes are made to augment customer satisfaction. I want to explain this. Management of fact, that means we collect data. Management gathers facts about the current level of product quality and service. This level is used as a benchmark, as a reference point, and the fact-based decisions are made for further improvement. So every time I hit a certain quality level, I keep going higher and higher by comparing and using fact-based decisions. It's not based on observations or something vague. It has to be tangible, measurable. Right? People-based management. Management makes employees understand what to do, how to do it, and give feedback. In a TQM process, it's important that people are interactive. Having a TQM process in a very close culture where people are just not talking to each other or they have a lot of hang-ups about each other, it is definitely going to be a flop. So the first thing is create an informal environment, an environment of trust, inspiring trust on both sides, and then you loosen up and then things become easier for people to do and also give feedback. People are encouraged to take responsibility for their work, and there's continuous involvement of people. Continuous underline. It's like your home, like a second home. You can't switch off, go back, be a non-TQM and come back and become a TQM. TQM is a way of life, right? Continuous improvement. TQM is a long-term program. It focuses on continuous improvement based on incremental changes. I spoke about Kaizen. Kaizen is all about small changes. You take a small change, stabilize, then take the next change, then stabilize and keep going. And that's a very important part of how a human behavior adapts to small changes. Every human behavior will adapt to smaller changes, not to bigger changes at a shot. So whenever you want to change, take short changes, get into the new change, create a new habit with a new change, and then after it stabilizes, don't stop, keep going, keep going, keep going. This is my mantra for people. Right? What are the core concepts of TQM? Customer satisfaction. External customer is the main source of income. Companies identify changing needs of the customer and enhance the satisfying factors. Very important. Customer is there, we are there. If the customer is not there, we are out. So that's where the customer satisfaction focus is important. I would say customer delight and even going beyond that. Internal customers are real. They influence the speed, the cost, the efficiency and the quality maintenance. Is it not true? If the internal customers are highly motivated, they are having a positive energy in the company, will they not be in a position to service the external customer well? Definitely. they would increase the speed of the service, the cost will also be brought down, the efficiency will be drastically improved, and the quality will be also fantastic. All work is process. There's a beautiful concept I like about TQM. Anything that I do is a process. I'm talking to you on the camera. This is a process. If I am TQM conscious, then I'll find ways and means of bettering my communication with you all. I don't have to be very formal with you. I can communicate to you because I would like to see that the subject goes to you. So every work is a process. My thinking is a process. The jotting down notes before the shoot started is a process. What I'll be doing after the shoot is over, writing down the points which I've missed out perhaps. What I think I've missed out. And then I'll try and improve it when I come for the next chapter. Now this is work in progress. So if one is conscious about everything that you're doing, then you can combine the methods, materials, manpower and machines, everything together and keep on improving. My efficiency will improve provided I give myself a feedback, a harsh feedback about this is something that can be done better. This is something that couldn't be done because of this reason. So I need to do it. So this feedback is very essential. It will happen to me only when I'm open-minded to myself. I must be my best critic. It's one of the qualities which we need to develop among us. Measurement. Internal quality measurements include performance levels, breach of promise. When you're driving a TQM program, you've got to be very clear about internal quality measurements should be regular. Breach of promise. Somebody has promised that I'll be doing this by this time or this many units I'll give. If the breach is there, if he doesn't do it, then we need to address it. Remember one thing, friends, we are addressing behavior, not the person. I always say this to myself and others. People who are very close to me, who understand me, who know me, they always say that it's something which we need to know from this person. See, there are two things, me and my behavior. Me and my behavior. What is it that you want? You want me or my behavior? Which is constant? Me is constant. Behavior keeps going up and down, up and down, up and down, depending on the situation. So when there's a breach of promise, it's a behavior that has made the breach happen, not me. So don't get personal on me. What is it? In chapter number one video, I have spoken about what is it that makes the behavior happen. Always ask this question to yourself. If XYZ does something which is not okay, we get personal with him. But ask yourself a question. What is it that made XYZ do something different? So what are we doing? We are addressing the process, not the person. If you are a person who takes it very personally, you will feel hurt. But if you are a person who sees a larger picture of the TQM or the larger picture of an excellence drive, then you will say, "Ha, this is where I've goofed up," and you make the changes. There's a certain amount of detachment when you talk about the process, but there's a huge attachment when you talk about the person. So try and cultivate this type of a training on yourself to de-link the person from the behavior. It's a rigor, it's a training, it's a challenge. But when one needs to go through, we are human beings. We do get hurt when somebody corrects us. Is he correcting me or is he correcting my behavior? That's a question I need to ask myself a question. And when I ask this question, I realize that the person is addressing my behavior. If I change my behavior, then he would not be getting annoyed with me. And I've seen this happen in my life. So internal quality measurements include performance level, breach of promise to be addressed, reject level to be addressed, accidents, process and control, yield scrap, time cost, changes in work orders, cost of quality, etc. etc. Some measurements that have been mentioned here. It's a part of quality management which you'll be learning in operations. Teamwork. One of the important cornerstones of TQM is teamwork. Nobody works in isolation. It's all team. Team helps people to maintain and improve quality, and teamwork enables cross-functional approach. There's nothing like one single specialist. I'm a specialist in what I do, but I'm also familiar with the processes of other areas of specialization. So it becomes like a cross-working. We are ever prepared to work as a team. So even if the team members are missing one or two, but yet we get the work done collectively. That is what is expected today in today's world. And that requires a certain type of a behavior, a certain type of an attitude. And that's where OB comes in. You see, whenever a company is going through a technological change, there is always a behavioral change that goes on. And the behavioral change needs to be driven by giving them behavioral training also. It's very nice for mergers and acquisitions to take place. It's very nice to have companies pumping in new technology. But after pumping the technology, have they also made the people go through a behavioral change is the biggest question mark which companies do not have answers to. They'll send people for technical training. New technologies come. They'll be training for 2 or 3 days. But with the new technology, what sort of behavioral changes you need to go through, that is rarely addressed. And even if it is addressed very peripherally. Say about 2 or 3 hours, somebody will come and talk about it. It's just like a talk. Nothing major is done. My focus as a faculty for OB and also trainer is that address the behavior whenever there's a technological change is going on. Rather, prepare people for a behavior which they are required to do in the next technological development. Technology is developing next year in my company, so can I prepare people with that behaviors? Is a very good way of operating. And some companies do it. Very progressive companies, they actually do this. Okay. People make quality. Quality, organizational efforts influence individuals and teams to commit to quality. Every person, when he knows and recognizes, he will produce quality, no doubt about it. Now that thing has to be prepared by us. He has to prepare himself by realizing that this is important for me and for my company. I'm sure all of you are listening to me will agree that whenever you produce quality or whenever you have experienced quality, you feel like contributing to the world. Am I right or wrong? Is it true? I'm sure you'll say yes. Whenever I produce quality or whenever I experience quality, there is a natural giving away. And that is the spirit of the teamwork. In French, we call it esprit de corps. Esprit de corps. Right? Further continuing, continuous improvement cycle includes identifying quality standards, customer needs, offering product or services, measuring results and implementing improvement. Prevention, ensuring that failures do not take place. And if failures, how do you ensure that failures do not take place? Remember, TQM is a continuous process. So we don't wait till the failures happen. Even when the process is on, we keep on checking, cross-checking. We have methods of doing cross-checking so that if there's any failure in between, something going wrong, some deviation, we correct it. Now this requires again a certain type of a behavior, right? Now we talk about what is called as a BPR, business process re-engineering. In simple means, simple state, it just means rethink and redesign. Something is going on well. Now this particular pointer I'm having in my hand, now this is functioning pretty well. Now if I want to do a BPR on this, I need to see whether I can change the physical design. Rethink what are the features I could add, what are the features I could subtract. It's about whatever is existing, can I do it better? So two areas of focus, rethinking about what is happening and what should happen and redesigning what could be done better. This is what is BPR. So measures of performance include cost. Can I reduce the cost? Can I optimize the cost? Can I optimize the quality, service and speed? This is a part of BPR. This is also one of the trainings which affects your thinking process. It is supposed to impact you and accordingly your behavioral needs will be different, right? Benchmarking. We spoke about benchmarking sometime back. It's a process of comparing work and service methods against the best practices, underline the word best practices, and outcomes for the purpose of identifying changes that would result in higher quality output. In every industry which you have come across, you know there are benchmarks. You talk about the mobile industry, there's a benchmark, XYZ. I'm not mentioning the name. You talk about the FMCG, there's a benchmark. So the best practices, which has been accepted by majority of the people, not just by awards, but consumers decide that this is the best in terms of quality, in terms of delight, etc. That becomes a benchmark. So every other competitor would try to not only reach the benchmark, but he would like to surpass the benchmark. Benchmark is that particular goal which I would like to arrive at. Organizations can learn from best practices of other organizations and formulate improvement strategies. How true? It helps organizations to identify a need for change. When I see something better than mine, better than what I do, don't I feel inspired to go and do that thing? That should be the spirit. That urge should be there that I must give out the best. So for that, the benchmark becomes a sort of an inspiration, a role model for me. Right? Shift in HR management. HR, human resources management, was having one type of a way of working once upon a time, 30, 40 years back. After globalization, the whole HR scenario has changed. It's not what it used to be some years back. Globalization, IT revolution, TQM, BPR, benchmarking, just few have been covered in this chapter, have made companies adopt highly competitive strategies. Companies have become competitive thanks to this investment of all these things. Now, when companies become competitive, obviously your behavior and my behavior should also become competitive. So if I'm sluggish, inverted commas, like what I used to be before, it will not work. So I've got to be nimble. I've got to be keep going forward. The strategies have brought shifts in HR management, which have already altered employees' values, expectations, attitudes, etc. The way of working, shift working, which is going on today, which is different from the shift working which used to have years back. The incentives that are being given, what we call it as a fixed pay and the variable pay. And there are so many changes that have taken place thanks to these changes that have taken place globally. A recruitment selection process used to have one way of being done once upon a time when we were about, say, 20, 25 years back. Now it's very different. So these challenges being different, the behavior that is expected is also going to be different. Obviously, it's going to be different. See, when I'm sitting in the panel to interview people in some companies and also in some institutes, one of the things I notice is I find youngsters coming with this type of behavior which some of my colleagues do not understand. Because this behavior where the youngsters are displaying are in line with the dictates of the modern times. It's very interesting. A youngster is today displaying a behavior which is in line with the modern times. So his behavior is quite revolting, inverted commas, to me. So what happens is I feel that he is not good. But I need to pause. I need to ask myself a question. What is making the behavior happen of this youngster? Then I realize it is the circumstances around him. Well, I could guide him on values. I could guide him on few things. But then he has to adapt himself to the changing circumstances by putting in a good behavior. A behavior which is taking him further, not regressing him. And that's a challenge in today's fast-moving world. The strategies have brought major shifts in HR management, which have altered employees, values, expectations, attitudes. Everything has changed now. It's changed for something very different. The outlook towards HR has gone a radical change. There's a demand created for a variety of human resources across the world. So globally now, people are moving here and there, taking up jobs in different countries. The emergence of multi-skilling has become a significant milestone. Like I told you earlier, master of one, but he needs to be jack of all. Master of one, but he needs to be jack of all. When I say jack of all, it's not derogatory. It means that I need to know how my part of the process is linked with the other parts of the process. Where do I stand in the whole value chain? What comes as an input to me, it goes as an output outside my table. So in between this and even beyond, on the both sides, where do I fit in? Because if I know my job from the broader angle of the whole organization, it becomes easier for me to do my job better. That's where the multi-skilling comes. So I need to be skilled in not one skill, but multiple skills today. Shift in the HR management. The types of employees required for by the HR management include multi-skilled and knowledgeable. There's what is called as a learnability. We all need to go through the learnability attitude. What I did 5 years back when I taught the same subject, OB, should be very different from what I teach today, or five years back, even 2 years back, even last year. So do I have the learnability to put the subject in a better way by using some of these inputs, by reading, by talking to people, by improving my own outlook? That's very important. Varied backgrounds, diverse people coming from different backgrounds, movement of people within the country from one state to another state, going to the lesser towns to work, meeting the local people, the villagers. It's become very, very diverse. Ability to learn continuously. Do you have the ability to learn continuously? Learner for life, as you call it. Do you have the ability to adapt to all situations? Agility. You're suddenly taken from one company or one place and suddenly asked to go to some other place to work. I'm sure many of you would have experienced this. I've seen this happening in the IT industry. You know, the person is working in Mumbai and suddenly he's asked to go to some, say, Australia, Sydney. Very next day he has to go. He's never been there. And he has to take charge and start working. So that agility to adapt to situations has to happen. If your personal habits are agile, according to me, if your personal habits are agile, as a person at home, in society, you're a very adaptable person, it becomes very easy to for you to adapt to these changing corporate life. Skills and abilities of a change agent. There are two things. Skills, which are basically things which I can offer in terms of raising the competency of my work. I told you in the first chapter, skills are nothing but information or knowledge with repeated actions gives you skills. Skill is something which I may be having, but ability, the intention and the capacity to put the skills into action during a change is important. That comes through adaptability and flexibility. And that's what is expected today from all of us. Here we are discussing the challenges of social systems on OB. The social environment all around us, the organization itself is a social entity. It's got control boundaries. It's there because it has promised something to the world outside in the form of a product or a service. So it's got its own social environment within, and there's a social environment outside. Now, what are the social environment parameters one by one? Religion. It forms a huge and important social institution influencing business. It does. How? It plays a significant role in normal and ethical behavior of people, their convictions and alignments. All of you will agree. Very sensitive topic to talk about, but religion does affect your behavior at the workplace. You may appear to be very neutral, but deep within you, your religion to which you belong does affect the way you think and talk. And this shows when you are there in crucial, critical situations, when you want to take a decision of a group or a big division. This somewhere plays a role. Many of you may not understand or agree on this, but it plays a role. Researchers have proven that this happens actually. Nothing against it, nothing for it. The fact is we are a part of it. The stronger the convictions you have, the more it affects your behavior. Family system, next one. Influencing roles played by family members affects men. The role of women in decision making varies from across communities. Your family impacts you in your behavior. There are people who come to me for counseling. What should I choose as a career? What should I choose as a specialization? And then I realize that whatever I may say to the person, ultimately the family member is going to take a decision. Then I ask the person, that youngster or whoever it is, tell me one thing, who are the family members? Who is the person whom you admire most? I ask him some questions. Then I come to know that there is somebody in the home who says my way or the highway. So such a person is affecting the youngster's destiny, his way of doing things. So it does affect the way he thinks. So his career, his choices of his life may be affected by the family. His behavior may be affected by the family members. Influencing factors. Role of women. The role of women has changed in society. It was controlled very different type of a situation some years back, some decades back. Now it's very different and they are moving across community. They have become more emancipated, more vocal, and they are occupying very good positions in organizations today. Joint family system seems to have lesser demand for goods and services compared to nuclear family. One of the points given by the author is a noticeable feature is people living in joint families, they are seen to buy less of consumer goods frequently. Because a joint family somewhere is integrated with the resources within the within the family itself. So they don't get this type of a fantasy to keep on buying things. Whereas nuclear families have been studied to be found that they are frequent buyers. An interesting study, this comes from a subject called consumer behavior, consumer buying behavior. Okay, next impact is by the culture. I've already explained this, I'll run through it. Cultural factors affect behaviors and hence business. Ascribed and acquired group membership influence behavior of a society. Now what's a group membership? We all belong to some group or the other. A group by definition in OB is a number of people with whom you are there for some period of time. A number of people with whom you are there for a period of time frequently, regularly. Okay, so now the first group to which I am born is my family. Family is one group. So you become a member of the family by default. You got no escape. So that group, it has its own culture and it affects you. Next comes a school where you are enrolled. When you start your primary school and secondary school and all that. So that is again a second group. And so on and so forth. There are some groups for which we are unwilling members. We get enrolled into it by someone, by parents, by brothers or whoever. And there are some groups wherein we enroll ourselves. For example, I may enroll myself to a football team. That's my choice. So there are membership of voluntary groups, of groups wherein I'm willing member, and the other one wherein I'm an unwilling member by default. So these ascribed and acquired group membership influence behavior of a society. Definitely. All people who belong to a certain musical group will have a certain type of a behavior. The members who belong to a group which is doing charity will have a different type of a behavior. Similarly, ascribed groups are based on gender, age, family, caste, communities, are various subsets. All these subsets, they start overlapping with each other. And then you find there's a complex behavior that happens with people. There's a subject called group dynamics. It's an HR subject for specialization students. In group dynamics, this is what we address. How these membership of each of us affects our behavior in very different ways. It's very, very interesting to study this. Acquired groups are based on religion, political, professional, and social affiliations.